With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
LCO on BTR with your host Onyx. This show is a production of Lady of the Circle in the Oaks, a Corellian proto-temple in Thomasville, North Carolina. After the show, we invite you to click over to ladyofthecircle.org to learn more about us. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show. My name is Reverend Onyx. I'm the chief priest here at Lady of the Circle of the Oaks, which is a proto-temple located in Thomasville, North Carolina. If you would like to learn more about the proto-temple, please click on over to www.ladyofthecircle.org. Tonight is March 14th of 2015. I want to welcome you to LCO on BTR. Tonight, we're going to talk about a different type of paradigm. Tonight's episode, The Indwelling Divine, and in this I'm going to share with you that paradigm, and it might be a little bit different than that which you're used to. I encourage you to listen to what I have to say and to consider it. It's my opinion that we should always challenge our own beliefs. We should constantly and continually be making a choice to follow our path, wherever it may lead. I also believe that it is spiritually healthy to make a commitment to ourselves at every moment of our lives. Tonight, I'm going to veer a little bit away from paganism. And I'm going to draw on my history and background within theurgy, which is called by some high magic. And I'm going to and draw on my work back in the years with ceremonial lodges. As a lot of you might know, one of the comments that run through most of my discussions, no matter where I go with things, is that we are children of the universal living mind, which we may call God or Goddess or the All or any other name, that infinite divine. We are not just worms of the earth. We are complex sons and daughters of that universal living mind. There are bits and pieces in us that come from the earth, and there are other bits and pieces that come from the heavens and the stars above us. So in this episode, I want to share with you another view of the occult anatomy of mankind. First, we have the physical body. We know we have the physical body because we can see it, we can touch it, we can handle it, we can control it. Unlike the other bodies, which are invisible to our normal sight. We then have the etheric body. The physical body is based on this form. In some of the older literature on occult science, it was known as the astral body. But this has caused a lot of misinformation because the astral body is something completely different than the etheric body. In the old days, the astral body was thought of as the etheric double. It was considered like maybe the matrix of that all this arrangement of cells, bones, muscles, all this is built on. Now, the astral body was thought to be the archetypal physical body, which is the etheric double. In German, it was called the doppelganger. However, the astral body and the etheric double are two distinct bodies. We have to be very careful not to confuse the two. Beyond that, we've got our emotions and our thinking, our general day-to-day thinking. The astral body is sometimes appropriately called the emotional body because this is the seat and the center of our emotions. It's affected by sensation, feeling, and desire. Then there's the mental body. The mental body has got two levels of consciousness, the abstract mind and the concrete mind. The concrete mind is the intellectual function and deals with objective matters in ordinary everyday thinking. The abstract mind is the intuitional faculty and the creative urge. It's through the abstract mind that the logos is contacted. Both our emotions and our general thinking can only be generated through some type of substance. They cannot work in a vacuum. Therefore, we're working in something called astral light. In substance behind matter, and a certain type of substance or a certain order of substance that's called emotional or mental, whichever the case might be. Because no one thinks without producing emotion, thought and emotion are tied together. This is known as the kama manasik. Kama means desire. Don't confuse the word kama with the word karma. Two totally different things. Kama has an important function in our makeup. Kama is the driving force without which we would be like a vegetable. But desire, or kama, has to be controlled and directed into the proper channels. Manas, from the manasik, means to think, to ponder, or to reflect. This is the mental activity. So we have this body of astral substance adapted for the use of our emotions, and commonly called the astral body or the kama manasik body because it is also adapted for the mental activity. Beyond that, we have the higher mental self, which works in its own body, in the substance of its own plane. The mental body is a very important part of the personality because it controls both the astral and physical bodies to a greater or lesser extent, depending on the development of the individual. So let's look at the lower four. We've got the physical, the etheric, the astral, and the mental. We have to remember that each body is dependent on the one above. So this means that each body is negative to the one above it and positive to the one below it. All of them are concerned with the world and with evolution, or they deal with these things. They deal with the world and they deal with evolution, with the evolution of our lives and our general conduct in the world, and also our ultimate fate. For instance, our concrete mind is shaped and influenced from childhood, from the moment we're born. It's molded by both our good and bad experiences. And so we build into ourselves a false mind based on experiences and our interpretation of them. More often than not, we misinterpret events. And we build into our astral body, that emotional part of us, small things, which don't always agree with each other. So the astral body is poorly constructed because it is continually being fed with the wrong material. Now consider this, if somebody ate all of the wrong foods, all of the most unhealthy foods, the physical body would eventually protest. The astral body does this too, but in its own way. The etheric body is the link between the physical and the astral bodies. And that link is the mold on which the physical body is built. The etheric body confines and limits the physical body. It keeps the physical body within the frame of the pattern. If this were not so, our physical body would never stop growing, and we might end up with fingers and toes that are 3.5 feet long. Now, it's been said that the real physical body is the etheric double, and that the physical body we have today came later as an afterthought. We fell so low that we picked up an animal body, which should never have been. And that's the thought behind one of the occult schools. The etheric double might also be called the magnetic double or the vital body because all of the vital forces flow through it and it's recharged while we sleep. So, the lower four, physical, mental, astral, and etheric, forms the self as we know it. Within that self is the center from which we think. We often think from the emotional center. A lot of people who think from the emotions will tell you that they think from the solar plexus. Their thinking is emotional to the highest degree. But generally speaking, we think from our heads because we have evolved certain mental faculties beyond emotion that work in the higher centers in the head and in the brain. But these faculties are connected to the false ego. Remember, the false ego is what we've constructed within ourselves. and we've hypnotized ourselves into believing. This is not the true self. Because if you remember, it has been built on erroneous information. All those misinterpretations of events and occurrences that we've had since birth, when we misinterpret those things, it doesn't really come to grips with the real things of life at all. So, it can cause all kinds of confusion because we cannot discriminate properly from those lower centers of the concrete mind and the emotional body, because we don't have all the facts that we say. Behind the lower four is the higher mental body. And behind the higher mental body is the causal body. Behind that, again, is the buddhic body, the highest vehicle that we possess. And vehicle here is a better word, because it's nothing like a physical body. The buddhic vehicle is the last form we use. We come through from the lower centers to the higher part of ourselves, where form is left behind. Then we are no longer creatures of form. We become formless. And in that formlessness, we have the power to organize ourselves into any form that we wish. To be physical, etheric, astral, or mental. This is a part of our evolutionary progress that we will eventually come to be in that state. Beyond the buddhic body is the ground of the soul. In the East, this is known as the Atman. The Atman is that part where the infinite intrudes upon the finite self. Just as the higher mental side of ourselves is intruding over the astral mental, the ground of the soul is the heavy influence of spirit over the self below it. And that higher self is brooded over by the influence of the Atman, which is the spirit in each one of us. There is no immediate connection between all these three sections of ourselves. The Atman appears to be distinct and different from the individual, and the individual distinct and different from the personality. We are split into sections, and our evolution is designed to heal these splits, to get rid of the divisions between those three aspects of our nature. We have divorced our nature from ourselves because we've made ourselves feel like that we are insufficient, that we are less than what we should be. And because we've got this wonderful power of the mind, we've hypnotized ourselves into believing this. And we act accordingly. In the same way, we have hypnotized ourselves into believing that this lower ego is all important. It's not. For the time being, it is of relative importance because it helps us to establish ourselves as individual beings. We have to gather bodies around us. Bodies always involve this notion of a false ego. The false ego is a way of looking at things, and because of that, it limits our personality. But at the same time, we are always trying to unfold that personality, to evolve it. As we continue to do that, our outlook becomes wider, and it broadens out. Consequently, we begin to understand ourselves better. And with understanding comes enlightenment. And finally, the day dawns when we have attained self-knowledge, perfect self-knowledge. Then the true self comes into manifestation. I want you to think about that for a few minutes, all that I've talked about. We're going to take a break. When we come back from our break, we'll go on more, and we'll talk about some of the things of how we move through this and what happens as we go on. Now, let's see. I got busy talking, and I didn't pick out a song. So if you'll bear with me here a moment, I think I'm going to go down past Darth the Bard. See, it isn't so. I'm going to play a song by Jenna Green called Pern. So please enjoy Jenna Green, Pern. Then we'll do the usual peace prayer. We'll do the station business, a rejoin, and I'll be back. Thank you for joining me. You had a choice. And you chose to spend time with me. And I appreciate that. Please enjoy.
Begins another course. There is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace, I pray for love, I pray for stability, I pray for the nation where I live, I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be, and it is so. Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You're listening to LCO on BTR on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. I'm Reverend Onyx, and this is LCO on BTR. We are about halfway through the hour. Here is March 14th of 2015, and we're talking about a theurgic paradigm of the soul and parts of the soul, parts of the body, parts of the anatomy, occult anatomy, you might want to call it. we heard, right, we heard Jenna Green and her song Hearn. And then, of course, we heard the Peace Prayer that I'll play on every one of my shows. I want to thank you for tuning in. This is the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, and we are here 7 nights a week at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So check your local times to make sure you can join us. If you do not have a Blog Talk Radio account and you're connecting to the Blog Talk Radio site, you will show up in the chat room as a guest. And if you are a guest in our chat room, you cannot type into our chat room. So make sure you get a Blog Talk Radio account before coming in. They're free. It's easy to get. You can sign up even with your with an email address or with your a Facebook account. So let's get back. Now, the development of this personality that we talked about earlier on happens very haphazardly. We grow by our experiences in the world, but we make mistakes, and we learn not to make them again. But this is a very, very, very haphazard process. It's one of those blind chicken finds corn every once in a while. Nobody takes us by the hand and steers us comfortably along the right path. Even if somebody said, walk along the old, tried, and tested paths, and you will find rest for your soul, the chances are we would ignore them because we're just like that. We don't listen. We want to be different. That contrariness is in the whole of our personality. It permeates our personality, all because of that false ego and its false images, always trying to organize everything around us. But we are not that false ego. We are not the false ego. We are that which lies behind it. And the day will come when we have to relinquish that false ego. Still, because it's related to all the things that we have chosen for ourselves, we tend to try to hang on to it. We hang on to those illusory images because they agree with what we think we want. They have nothing to do with the reality or the true path. Because of that, we only see that part of ourselves that we have achieved by the unwitting self-hypnosis. That's all we see, because we want to deceive ourselves. We want to feel this. We want to think that. Because it plays on or it panders to our self-aggrandizement. We think we're so great. So all of this stuff just plays on to us. To the fact that we think that we are that someone that was built up by the false personality. And we're stuck in that false image. We have to work alongside it. Run through it or run with it. Through life, until the time comes when we have to lay aside our physical sheath, our physical vessel, and separate our personality from the physical body. What happens then? When we leave the physical plane, or the inner planes, there are a whole lot of things that we have to let go of. We have to get rid of as much of this lumber as we possibly can before we pass through those gates. Because if you take it with you, you still have to get rid of it. It all has to get. There is a purging, a cleansing of our personality. And we learn to retain only that part which is good and beautiful and true. We keep only that which is real, which is a reflection of the divine. Make no mistake about it, that purging on the inner planes is very real. And if you have communication with the other side, you'll find that quite a lot of people that you thought in life to be on a very high level are not so high after all. They had built into their personality traits of character, which now have to be discarded. And that can be a very painful process, especially where that false ego has been developed extremely strong. It's not easy to persuade that false ego to get rid of the rubbish, of the trash, of the stuff it doesn't need. However, unless you discard it, you will hang along around in the lower planes for a long, long time. Unless you get rid of some of the weight, you will not float to the top. It's a lot more difficult to get rid of the trash on the other side than it is here. If you want to reform your lower self and get it trained, now is the time to do it. Don't wait till you get to the other side. What you can do in a dense physical plane is not done so easily in the mobile, flashing substances of the inner planes, because there's no resistance to work against. It's been said that with self-discipline and perseverance in 1 year of life in the physical realm, in the human life, in earth life, instead of 50 years in the astral life, you can purify a good deal of your personality. And it pays to do your purging while you are still in the physical body. This is what the mystic is talking about when he says, never mind about anything else. You have to purge yourself of your sins. Oh, there's that word. Sins. What are sins? Sins are really just transgressions. And to transgress means to go across. You're firing at a target, but you're aiming wrongly. And you go across the target rather than onto it. If we wander from the path, that's sin. What's the path? We wouldn't sin if we knew how to aim straight, but we don't know. It's something we have to learn. And the more we can learn on the physical plane about how to control our emotional and mental reactions, the less clutter we'll take with us when we change houses, when we move on, when we go on to the inner planes, when we leave this simple shell behind. You don't want a lot of clutter when you pass on to the inner planes. Let go while you're still here. And then you won't have to undergo all that painful purging. Why is it so painful? Well, it's painful because of this. When you try to cleanse yourself from your sins of admission and commission on this plane, you've got the physical body to hold you in line during the whole operation of the physical. Therefore, you can assess your shortcomings, and you can deal with them accordingly and with relatively less pain. But when you get to the other side, what you'll find in that very fine volatile matter, substance of the inner planes, your transgressions take charge of themselves. They materialize in front of you. Remember what has always been taught about the astral plane. If you believe it, if you see it, you can make it real. Well, you have to deal with them as if they were actual living things standing right there in front of you. For instance, say you've been guilty of utter selfishness. You could find yourself imprisoned by that selfishness, locked into it by the sudden appearance of solid iron bars all around you. Because remember, on the inner planes, when you think of a thing, it is immediately there before you. Do not forget that. You have to train yourself to absorb all that unworthiness. So you can see how imperative it is for you to do all of this as much of it as you can while you're still in the physical body, where this volatile element that we're talking about doesn't play into it as much. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for a lot of hard work. Eventually, you have to undergo that purging, whether you like it or not, either here or there, before you can go on to a higher level. When you get to the other side, there will always be something remaining in your personality that needs purging, because none of us are perfect. When all the negative qualities of your personality have been assimilated, you're ready to move on to a higher level, where you begin to come into the realms of your true self. This is where you have risen on the planets. As you ascend to the higher planes, you start to shed the old ideas, and a new kind of consciousness takes over. New thought and new images that you had never experienced before. Fresh pictures, new forms of beauty, etc. These things. Strange memories come creeping in, and you wonder where they came from. You enter a condition in which you have more or less finished with the personality. But you've taken from that personality all the lessons you learned and incorporated them into the higher memory, that higher consciousness, where all the memories of all past lives are stored. You have at this point purged your personality of all that was unbalanced and negative. All that remains of the abandoned and now purified personality is kind of astral shell, which eventually will disintegrate on its own. And you've returned to where? To the higher self, to the true ego, to the true self. Then you are in what in the East is called Devachan. In the West, we might call it heaven. And you remain there until the time comes when you desire to go forth again into another personality. And that time will come. The desire will arise. I want you to think about what I've talked about tonight. Do you think it's right? Do you think it makes sense? Is it rubbish? Does it jive with anything? You don't know. This is for you to decide. This is for you to think about. Nobody has all the answers. And I'm here to tell you that there is only one true right way. That's right, folks. I'm a one-wayist. Did you ever think you'd hear me say that? I am absolutely a one-wayist. There's only one true right way. But that one true right way is different for every single one of us. We all have one true path. But that one true path is not the same for each of us. There may be a time where our paths There may be a time when our paths parallel each other or even coincide with each other for a little while. But we each have our own path. And those of us who are honored enough to be looked at as guides, as mentors, as leaders, whatever the word you want to call it, we can't tell you what to believe. We can't tell you what to think. We can't tell you where your path lies. We can't tell you what your relationship with the divine is. those of us, in my opinion, my humble opinion, if I step on toes, then so be it. In my humble opinion, those of us, regardless of our expression of faith, who consider ourselves ministers and who understand the concept of ministry, understand the definition that I use. I might be biased in this, probably so, but we all are. My definition of ministry is to meet someone where they are and walk with them to where the divine wants them to be. Not where I want them to be. Not where they want them to be. Where the divine wants them to be. I can't walk the path for you. But for a short time here and there, I can walk alongside you and hold the lantern. If you will go back through my other broadcasts, you will hear me say things that are completely contradictory to each other. And I will be the first one to admit that. There's no shame in the game, people. Because I'm here to make you think. That's what I want to do. I don't care if you think like me. I just want you to think. I will present you with different opportunities to think, different thought seats, different ways of looking at things. It's up to you to do the heavy lifting. It's up to you to listen to whoever you wish to listen to read whichever books you wish to read, to pray to whichever manifestation of the divine you wish to pray to. Do whatever you wish to do. It's all up to you. Because in the end, it is absolutely your path. And no one, and I'll repeat, no one has the right to tell you what your path should be. Look inside. Because that's where you're going to find the answers. You can listen to those of us who like to get up on soapboxes. You can listen to our ideas. You can listen to what we say. You can listen to our rants. You can listen to our logic. You can listen to our theology or our cosmology, whatever you want to call it. Philosophy, whatever. BS, whatever you want to call it. You can listen to it. And I challenge you to listen to it. Listen to everything that everybody tells you. Think about it. Because in the end, that internal compass, that internal filter, will let you know what rings true to you and what does not. There's this big thing, people talking about the difference between traditionals and eclectics. Now, I'm here to blow you out of the water with saying that everybody is eclectic. I don't care how traditional you think you are, you're eclectic. Because while your rituals may be the same, you may follow a pattern. There's no way in the world, first of all, that you can know. If you're standing, let me illustrate this. If you're standing in a traditional circle with me, and we're doing the same ritual, even if we've been trained by the same mentor, there is no way in the world that your visualizations and your emotional emotional connection and all that is going to be exactly like mine, because we each have our own experiences through life and our own interpretations. And because of that, we focus on different things. We pull different things from different places. And that, by definition, my friend, is eclectic. Chris says, no one has the right to tell us what path to take. I agree. But there is also truth and error. He capitalizes both of those. Not all paths lead to truth. If we follow our whims, we get nowhere. I disagree. Even a blind chicken finds corn every once in a while. I believe in the providence of the divine. And by that, I mean that eventually we will all find God. We will all find that divine, whatever you want to call it, whatever label you want to make. Eventually, we will all be there. We may make a lot of wrong turns in the process, but we'll all get there eventually. And the thing about it is if we try to personify, let's use the personification of the divine to illustrate a point. She, and I'll call her she because I prefer to look at the ultimate living mind, the universal living mind, infinite living mind, as a she. I just don't like calling it yet. It's kind of impersonal. She has all the time in the world. All the time. She is time. She is immortal. She is unending. So waiting 1,000 years and waiting 2 days, it's the same. It doesn't matter. Eventually, we will all return home. Yes, I believe in the providence of the divine. We'll all make it. We're going to take different paths. Every single one of us is going to take different paths. Some of us may take a lot longer than others. But we'll all make it. I believe in the providence of the divine. So, do I think that we can listen to those around us and get guidance? And possibly make that path a little bit shorter for us? Yes, we can. I believe that. But that doesn't mean that we have to. We have to choose that. If we choose that, then so be it. That's our path. If we choose to strike that on our own and not listen to anything anywhere, then that's our path too. If you want to get into the concept of time, Chris, we can do that. So are you saying all humans will eventually arrive at the divine, but some will take far longer than others? First of all, the divine is within. It's not arrived at. We are limited by our language. I believe two things here. Try to tie them together. First of all, I believe that we are all eminently divine anyway, that the divine is imminent, that the separation between us is illusion. So we're not going anywhere. So we're not arriving anywhere. We are understanding. We are understanding. It says, so are you saying that a person can't, I can't read that, my eyes are bad. Is that fall or fail? Chris, you were saying, so are you saying that a person can't, is that word fall or fail? I've got old man eyes here. Help me out. Fall or fail? And I'll answer your question. Okay, moving along. First of all, we're not going anywhere. We're going within. We're making a realization. Second of all, I also believe that because we all exist in the universal living mind, or the infinite living mind, and in the infinite living mind, eternity exists absolutely, that time is an illusion as well. So if time is an illusion and separation is an illusion, I still can't make out that last letter. Put it in caps, please, Chris. Is it F-A-I-L or F-A-L-L? I apologize. My eyes are not good. I'm trying to get Chris's question here so that I can address it. Because he always comes up with some interesting thoughts and interesting points to make. So time, in my opinion, is an illusion. So longer than others, well, maybe in our subjective reality, yes. but in the infinite reality, all time is now. Everything happens in the eternal now. There is no time. Time is an illusion. Can we see that in our own limited frame? No, we can't. But I believe it to be true. Just as solidly as I believe in the providence of the divine. Just as solidly as I believe that the divine is indwelling, is imminent. I do not believe a person can fail. They may fall. They may falter in understanding it and understanding that that divine is imminent. But eventually, the understanding will come to them. It may be a lot more difficult for them to get that understanding. And in subjective time, it may take a lot longer, and they may fall down along the way. But eventually, they'll get it. Chris says, I agree, time is an illusion we experience in the physical body. Yes, absolutely. So if we're talking far longer than others, as in your earlier question, if we understand that time is an illusion, there is no far longer. It all happens now. In our subjective reality, in our physical reality, then yes, it'll take some people longer than others. But in the objective reality of the infinite, then it's all instantaneous anyway. But because it mixes schools of thought. An old fraternity that I worked with. Okay, I don't know where that dropped off. We went dead air for a minute. I apologize, technical difficulty on this end. So, he says, so no human soul will ever have the possibility of separation from the divine. No, because the soul is divine in and of itself. Is that not part of the experience of freedom? I'm not understanding what your question is. Can you free iron from iron? Can you free oxygen from oxygen? Can you free whatever from itself? It's impossible because the soul is divine. In its innermost self, it is divine. It cannot be separated from the divine. We can have the illusion. We can have the belief that we're separated. We can have the fear, the paranoia, whatever you want to call it, that we are not connected or part of the divine, but that is absolutely impossible because we are divine. Everything in existence is divine, because even if you think about the divine being, omnipresent, consider this. Let's switch over and think about Christian theology for a moment. They say that God is everywhere. I agree, God is everywhere. But if God is everywhere, doesn't that mean that every part of us is God too? Because if God is everywhere, then God is in every atom, in every molecule, in every corpuscle, in every breath that we take, in everything, everything. God is everywhere. There is no part of the universe that is not God. And I agree. Just replace the word God with divine. I use the word God. I don't have a problem with it. So yeah, God is omnipresent. The divine is omnipresent. The divine is everywhere. And if we believe that, then we have to believe that we are divine as well, because we cannot exist outside of God if God is everywhere. So I'm seeing that I've got some audio problems. Chris is saying audio keeps going in and out, so he's missing quite a bit. I think that might be my cue to pop smoke on this episode. Hopefully, the Hopefully the archives will be a little bit better in its processing. If not, if you guys can listen to the archive, shoot me a message. Let me know what it sounds like. I'm going to let you go for now with all that to think about. So those are my thoughts. I encourage you to think. I encourage you to understand that thinking is evolving, and I encourage you to be involved as we evolve. Remember, I don't care if you think like me. I just want you to think. One starfish at a time until the 100th monkey. In all things, may you blessed be.
Thank you for listening to LCO on VTR. We hope you've enjoyed the show. You're invited to ladyofthecircle.org for more information about our organization. In all things, may you blessed be.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.